North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Less than 2 months till the election, Vice President Harris and former President Trump continue focusing on battleground states. Harris hitting Pennsylvania today. Trump goes to Nevada, shutting down any further debates.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump disagreeing over debates.
I believe we owe it to have another debate.
Trump says after one matchup against President Biden and another against Harris, he is done with debates.
So because we've done two debates and because they were successful, there will be no third debate.
For the first time since the ABC News debate, Harris and Trump are back on the campaign trail.
ABC's Perry Russin. Trump continued to push his claim that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio are eating the pet dogs and cats of residents. On Thursday, the city received a bomb threat. No bomb found. The FBI is assisting. 33,000 union machinists have gone on strike against Boeing in a contract dispute. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water levels are low on the Mississippi River. That's making things tough for shippers and Wisconsin farmers. Jimmy Kuska reports.
The USDA says that grain shipping is being limited, especially around St. Louis, as officials deal with water levels as low as they've been the last 2 years. In the last week of August alone, grain shipping dropped 17%. The effects will mostly be felt by farmers, with costs up 57% compared to the three-year average. Costs this year are up 8% over last year. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Waukesha County executive is diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Paul Farrow says he plans to keep working through his chemotherapy treatments. Farrow's been Waukesha County executive since 2015. Before that, he served in the state legislature. He announced the news to the public in a YouTube video this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Kuska with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it will be challenging this Sunday without having one of their top players available.
Jordan obviously is our number one quarterback, and I think every time you take the field, you want your best players available to you, and when they're not, then it can be challenging.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Tomorrow is a big-time college football showdown in Madison. Alabama plays Wisconsin at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Kuska with Civic Media Sports.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, will join me in studio. Trump gets some charges dismissed, and Merrick Garland made a speech. We'll talk about
it. The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a little breezy out of the southeast. Highs around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 57. Showers and storms are possible on Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the upper 70s. More showers and storms Saturday night.
It's 51 at our studios.
Most people out here think that taking care of one another is important. And most people would step up for a neighbor going through a tough time. Most people around here help out friends and family when they need it. But the funny thing is, most of us won't look for help when we need it. Talk to someone if you're struggling with mental health, because most people out here really care. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Dan Schaefer at 10:33 from the Recombobulation Area. Hour number two. If you know some young wannabe aviators, young eagles, don't miss it.
Matinair on air. Weekday mornings at 10.
Good morning on this Friday, the 13th in September. I am Ben Jarba with the Midwest Farm Report, and it's looking like it's going to be another beautiful day outside today, with temps slightly lower than yesterday, topping out at 84 here in Madison. We will hear more about the forecast in a little bit from our ag meteorologist, Stu Muck. Also on tap for today, the fabulous farm babe Pam Yonke talks with AARP on affordable and accessible housing in both urban and rural areas. It is also a Compeer Farm Friday, and today we'll get the chance to hear the story of Fair Oaks Farms in Fond du Lac County. They collected both Century and Sesquicentennial Farm Honors this year. We will also hear from Jill Welke, who got to talk to the Wisconsin State FFA Executive Director Cheryl Zimmerman about the changes, goals, and challenges taking place in the state FFA organization. Make sure to stick around.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Corn rootworm is a ruthless pest, which is why Bayer is relentless in its innovation. SmartStax Pro with RNAi technology is here. With an RNAi-based mode of action unlike anything that's come before, plus two proven BT traits, it's innovation that equals the strongest biotech defense in medium to high corn rootworm pressure environments from Bayer. Talk to your seed dealer about defending like a pro with SmartStax Pro technology. Read and follow pesticide label directions, IRM, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices. Copyright 2024 Bayer Group. All rights reserved.
It's an exciting time of the year as our students gather back in those agriculture education classrooms. I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn in Eau Claire. Every year, there seems to be some adjustments within the ag education classrooms. I have Cheryl Zimmerman. She's the Wisconsin State FFA Executive Director. With the new year, there's always excitement in those agriculture classrooms. And there's been some new charters and some interesting charters that have happened just this past year.
Well, we're pretty excited because at the state FFA convention, we actually presented three charters to chapters from this past year. And we started a chapter at Nathan Hale in Milwaukee. And we also chartered our first virtual chapter, the Destinations Career Academy, where they're based out of McFarland, which is just outside of Madison. And so we're getting students involved now in the virtual aspect of FFA. Last year, La Crosse chartered their high school FFA. And now I just completed a charter for the La Crosse Middle School. And so it's exciting. Algoma has a recharter that's happening. So it's just really exciting to see more chapters being added to our association as we continue to see membership at record numbers. Almost 26,000 members across the state of Wisconsin. We've hit over 1 million members nationwide. So it's just really exciting to see the growth of our agricultural education programs and our FFA chapters.
And we talk about general growth of those chapters and the membership. What about what they're doing in those chapters? Has it changed over the past few years?
Well, you know, the thing is, it's like the teachers are the credit to that because they are keeping their curriculum up to date with the new technology in agriculture and just keeping students' interest in, you know, food production and how we're going to feed a growing population and community service. FFA really has gotten involved in a lot of community service programs. So, you know, we aren't successful at the state and national level unless we're successful at the local level. And it's really those local teachers, those FFA advisors working with their students to make things happen in the community and their schools, and they're doing a great job of it.
And talking about those teachers, I know that some of those classes coming out of River Falls with the new ag teachers haven't been real numerous. Are they supplying enough to keep all those positions filled?
Well, we kind of wonder about that every summer. And again, this summer was no different. We had a lot of teacher changes, several teachers retiring, other teachers going into industry. And so to fill all those open positions, you know, we're looking for obviously those individuals coming out of agricultural education programs like UW River Falls and Platteville. We've got a few that are coming from out of state. I know that in talking with UW River Falls, COVID had a little bit of an effect in terms of the number of teachers coming out and now into the profession. But we're also increasing our numbers of teachers that are experience-based licensed teachers. So that means that maybe they didn't graduate with a degree in ag education, but they do have a degree in something related to agriculture or even, you know, any other bachelor degree. And then they can then work with school districts to become experience-based teachers. And so, you know, we have a variety of different backgrounds of teachers out there. But right now, I mean, we're looking pretty good as far as filling all the openings, but there's going to be a lot of new faces as I start to travel around in the fall now doing our leadership workshops and getting to know all the new teachers that are out there in Wisconsin.
From the state level, are you seeing more support needed for these experience-based teachers, or is it pretty much same across the board, whether they've graduated with that ag degree or maybe they have an English degree that they have an ag background?
It really depends on the teacher because, I mean, you can get some experience-based teachers that have had a really strong FFA experience, maybe in their high school, or, you know, maybe they were a past state officer or they've got that background, so they kind of understand our three-circle model. And then you have others that are coming straight out of industry that really never have had that. And so we have to really tailor our training opportunities for our teachers now to kind of meet them where they're at. You know, the thing is having the enthusiasm, the excitement, obviously, to teach agricultural education, because none of this would ever happen without that teacher in the classroom. And so from there, then helping them and supporting them in ways that they can continue to get students involved in FFA and SAE. And it's a lot. When you're an ag teacher, you have a lot of things to juggle, you know, and your classroom obviously is the most important thing because you need to have the classroom. That's what makes FFA so different from any other club or organization, is that we're still tied directly to the agricultural education classroom. And without that teacher in place, you can't have an FFA chapter. And, you know, a lot of times we'll get calls on, well, how can my son or daughter get involved in FFA? And really, that's our first question. Does your school district have an ag program? And if they don't, then that's the first obstacle that a school has to, you know, hire somebody and get them in a position to be teaching agricultural education. And then the FFA and the SAEs follow that.
And we're chatting with Cheryl Zimmerman. She is the executive director for Wisconsin State FFA. Let's talk about some of those goals that are coming for this next year. Do you think you're going to be having some more of those virtual FFAs out there?
Well, I'm not sure about virtual. And we're excited to work with our virtual chapter because we're continuing to figure out how this best works, because not just by taking a virtual class can you become an FFA member virtually. I mean, this Destinations Career Academy, we're talking about full-time virtual students. And so we're still going to be working with them and seeing how things go. But we have goals. The state officers were just at their Jag Lake officer retreat, and they've set a goal to try to reach over 27,096 members. That's their goal. They want to really help students to even get more involved in submitting award applications and increasing numbers in participation. And again, we have our affiliated membership options where an FFA chapter can have all of their ag ed students as FFA members. It's not a choice, but it's kind of an option where you're in an ag class. That means you have the opportunity to be an FFA. And so there's a lot of things that are happening for us to continue to grow in membership. We're excited about that. But again, it's very, very much local in terms of, you know, what's happening at a local district and the potential to grow. And, you know, again, seeing ag programs starting in La Crosse, fantastic. I mean, we're just excited. But then we're also excited to see what we can do to help support our small rural communities, too, that also need the programs.
We're going to dive into those challenges. What are some of the biggest challenges that you see coming this next year in the ag programs and in FFA?
Well, I think some of the challenges, they're not new challenges. Again, it's, you know, teacher shortage, you know, because every year we're kind of prepared now that we're going to have quite a few changes, and that's okay. It's just kind of the way things are now because, you know, people change careers a little bit more. And so obviously making sure that we've got that supply of young people coming through the chain to be ag teachers. And then, you know, again, just local support, because every school district, again, is different as far as their support and really telling our story about what we do to help students, to help the ag industry. And, you know, it's not a new challenge. It's just always that focus on let's tell our story, because ag education and FFA are really making a difference in students' lives. And we're preparing students for careers in agriculture. We've got a lot of great things ahead of us. We're going to be starting our fall leadership workshops now. One thing that's really happened over the last year or so is just participation in all of our events. It seems like more and more people want to come and participate, which is fantastic. So for us, the challenge is to meet the needs of growing attendance and involvement, which is fantastic. And we're looking forward to a great year. We got a great state officer team that, they're gearing up now. They're just going to be starting chapter visits. And before we know it, we're going to be at the National FFA Convention celebrating there.
And always a lot of celebration when it comes to being the executive director. You've been at it a few years. You going to keep at it a few more yet?
Well, yeah, I think so. I really enjoy it. You know, it's like this is my 31st officer team. I think that's where I'm at. And, you know, people ask me from year to year, it's like, how do you keep doing this? Well, every year's different. I've got a new team of state officers and they bring their new talents to the team. And we work through things and we've got new ideas. We've got a new idea from last year's officer team. They want to start a conference called Onward, which is more of a ag career focused conference. So that's on my agenda to kind of start taking a look at that. And coming out from National FFA, we've got some changes in our awards and recognition programs. And, you know, there's just always some new things that come along. And so it's always good to have a few challenges to see what we can do to overcome and actually to grow opportunities for students.
And just keep turning out a lot of young people that are passionate about agriculture and can tell their story, I think, is one of the biggest things that I've seen as I've been in this job. And that was Cheryl Zimmerman, Wisconsin State FFA Executive Director. And I'm Jill Welke from the northern end of the world's longest barn here in Eau Claire.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as ag meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
From Birchwood to Poplar, this is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, your home for news, talk, and sports.
The kids are heading back to class, but when the subject is school, we have to talk about the first kindergarten started in Wisconsin. Marguerite Schurz created what is known as America's First Kindergarten in 1856, teaching a small class at her family's home in Watertown. It's about 50 miles northwest of Milwaukee. So can you guess, when did kindergarten become part of the state's public school system? The answer coming up. Schurz learned about kindergarten in Germany, where the idea was common. It wasn't in America, and her class grew so quickly, she had to move to a bigger space. Today, the building remains as a Watertown museum. So did you guess when kindergarten became part of the public school system in the state? It was 1898. But 42 years prior, the Schurz School started it all, making this a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network. Some big ideas being shared at the Cap Times Idea Fest in Madison. Civic Media is proud to be a part of it and will broadcast the live one-on-one discussion with Nancy Pelosi. Hear what the first female Speaker of the House thinks about the state of politics and the presidential election, Monday, September 16th at 7:30 p.m. Live coverage of Nancy Pelosi from Idea Fest, Monday night, September 16th at 7:30 on your local Civic Media radio station.
Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerk's backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican Sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
It's a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones,
yes,
right?
Yes, exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwaba.
On the next Nightlight, Civic Media Sports Director Jimmy Cuska drops by to give us a preview of this weekend's Packer game. And it's a bar band Friday night as Max Inc.'s Terry Barr joins the show with new music.
Nightlight with Pete Schwaba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Overall dry weather, maybe a little fog in a few spots this morning, but that's about the biggest change there is. We look at low pressure trying to build in from the west, the system that brought snow in the lake in the northern Rockies. That's pushing up into southern Canada today. It's extended a weak cold front into the western Dakotas. None of that our problem. Francine, of course, down in the southeast, providing a lot of rain and the like down in Arkansas and Mississippi, and will be lingering in the southeast part of the U.S. even as we make our way on into the weekend. There's a little rain along that front in North Dakota this morning. That's about all there is to be concerned by, and that's not going to hold together and build into Wisconsin. In fact, I expect that low in Canada will weaken. The eastward passage of that cool front will be slowed down, and it's going to get a lot weaker before it gets here, and that will finally lead to a little rain chance, maybe late tonight in west and northwest Wisconsin, or later tomorrow further east and south. Very scattered showers. I'd say scattered light rain about what we're going to talk about, but a small possibility trying to edge in as we head through Saturday or Saturday evening. A slight chance into Sunday, especially in the north. I really expect we start to dry it out a little bit into next week. Temperatures don't change a great deal. Just a couple of degrees cooler for Friday. Warming up again, back up in the low and mid-80s by Sunday and Monday. A lot of summertime weather. And aside from those very scattered and small chances of rain, especially Saturday or a little later Sunday, I expect we're in for a pretty dry spell, and it will stay that way, fairly dry and very mild right through the weekend, right into next week. No big changes in this forecast. There's not a big storm system taking aim or building in the west that's going to have any effect. I really anticipate just a continuation of spectacular mid-September weather with above-normal temperatures and a lot of sunshine and good dry conditions concerning that field work. Yes, drying out pretty much, making a lot of dust when we're out and about, but I guess that's better than thinking we could be muddy as it was for quite a while this spring. I'll be back with those forecast details right after this.
Whether it's finally getting that blue ribbon or enjoying too many carnival rides, we all have memories of the fair. Here's your chance to share those stories in our Everybody Has a Fair Story contest. The Midwest Farm Report is teaming up with the Wisconsin Association of Fairs as they look for the grand champion fair story. Enter the Fair Story contest for a chance to win a cash prize at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Welcome back, everyone, to your Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update with Stu Muck. Stu, is it looking like there's going to be a lot of silage taken out over the next few days here?
I have absolutely no doubt, Ben. They're working like crazy in my neighborhood. After all, Mother Nature's cooperating with us and things drying down pretty well. That Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update is for more partly sunny skies today. Not a problem. Just a few more clouds, plenty of sunshine, and I expect a lot of low or even near mid-80s for highs. Winds are going to become a bit more easterly, about 5 to 10. Eastern Wisconsin, the closer you are to Lake Michigan, you'll be a little bit in the cooler side over the next few days. Overnight, partly cloudy skies, a slight chance of some rain, especially northwest Wisconsin late tonight. Temps in the upper 50s are up around 60. Those east winds about 5 to 10. Partly sunny Saturday, that slight shower chance in the west. Transitions a bit further east in the afternoon, just a very slight chance of rain, about, let's talk low 80s, maybe about 80 in the north, with the southeast winds about 5 to 10. And Sunday, partly sunny, still some slight rain chances lingering, especially in the east, then in northeast, temps in the low to mid 80s, warmest in the south, with those south winds developing at about 5. Even Monday, Ben, I expect sunshine, low and mid 80s, very mild. You know, we're talking almost 10 degrees above normal right into next week.
Yeah. Stu, you think there's going to be any measurable rain coming up at all?
I don't think out of this little system here, Ben. You know, if somebody's lucky, they'll get a tenth of an inch. otherwise going to be pretty light. Just to call it a dust settler.
All right. That's your Compeer Financial Ag weather update. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit Compeer.com. And for the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Your hometown station for news, talk, and sports. This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Reacting to recent partisan voter registration purges and rule changes from state officials, legislatures, and election boards, September 10th, the U.S. Department of Justice reminded states of their responsibilities under the federal National Voter Registration Act. Following Georgia's questionable rollout of its voter registration cancellation request portal and late voter purges by officials in North Carolina, Ohio, Texas, and other states, DOJ Assistant Attorney General Kristen Clark issued this video statement.
The right to vote is the root of all our freedoms. The United States Department of Justice is determined to protect that right, but we need your help. If you believe that your name has been improperly removed from the list of registered voters, please file an online complaint with the Civil Rights Division or call us at 1-800-253-3931. In fact, you should alert us promptly to any effort to interfere with your right to vote.
Simultaneously, DOJ issued a pointed guidance on when, how, and under what circumstances a voter's registration can be purged under the National Voter Registration Act. We have resources where you can check your registration status and the DOJ's contact information at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling. Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop. That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. Less than 2 months till the election, Vice President Harris and former President Trump continue focusing on battleground states. Harris hitting Pennsylvania today. Trump goes to Nevada, shutting down any further debates.
Vice President Kamala Harris and former President Trump disagreeing over debates.
I believe we owe it to have another debate.
Trump says after one matchup against President Biden and another against Harris, he is done with debates.
So because we've done two debates and because they were successful, there will be no third debate.
For the first time since the ABC News debate, Harris and Trump are back on the campaign trail.
ABC's Perry Russin. Trump continued to push his claim that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio are eating the pet dogs and cats of residents. On Thursday, the city received a bomb threat. No bomb found. The FBI is assisting. 33,000 union machinists have gone on strike against Boeing in a contract dispute. This is ABC News.
Civic Media News, I'm Derek Tritz. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Water levels are low on the Mississippi River. That's making things tough for shippers and Wisconsin farmers. Jimmy Kuska reports.
The USDA says that grain shipping is being limited, especially around St. Louis, as officials deal with water levels as low as they've been the last 2 years. In the last week of August alone, grain shipping dropped 17%. The effects will mostly be felt by farmers, with costs up 57% compared to the three-year average. Costs this year are up 8% over last year. I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The Waukesha County executive is diagnosed with a rare form of cancer. Paul Farrow says he plans to keep working through his chemotherapy treatments. Farrow's been Waukesha County executive since 2015. Before that, he served in the state legislature. He announced the news to the public in a YouTube video this week. And that's what you need to know. I'm Derek Tritz, and this is Civic Media News.
History is made for the Brewers' youngest player. Hi, I'm Jimmy Cuskin with sports, filling in for Mike Clemens. Jackson Churio became the first 20-year-old to hit 20 home runs and steal 20 bases in a season during Milwaukee's 3-0 win over San Francisco Thursday night. Milwaukee leads the NL Central by 9 games with 16 games to play. The Brewers are in Arizona this weekend for a 3-game series beginning tonight. The Green Bay Packers take on Indianapolis this Sunday, and they'll be starting Malik Willis at quarterback with Jordan Love out of action with an MCL sprain. Head coach Matt LaFleur said it will be challenging this Sunday without having one of their top players available.
Jordan obviously is our number one quarterback, and I think every time you take the field, you want your best players available to you, and when they're not, then it can be challenging.
Both the Packers and Colts are looking for their first win. Tomorrow is a big-time college football showdown in Madison. Alabama plays Wisconsin at 11 a.m. Filling in for Mike Clemens, I'm Jimmy Cuska with Civic Media Sports.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a TGIF edition of the show. We'll get you ready for the big Alabama visiting Wisconsin Badger game and much more. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. For today, mostly sunny, a little breezy out of the southeast, highs around 82 degrees. Mostly cloudy tonight, a low of 57. Showers and storms are possible on Saturday, otherwise mostly cloudy, with highs in the upper 70s. More showers and storms Saturday night.
It's 51 at our studios.
Travel back in time and experience the magic of the Minnesota Renaissance Festival. Journey through a world of armored knights, joking jesters, and enchanting fair maidens. Every weekend, August 17th through September 29th, thrill to live combat jousting, feasting on turkey legs, and shopping hundreds of unique artisans. Bring the whole family for unforgettable fun. Get your discounted tickets today at renaissancefest.com. Find your magic at the Minnesota Renaissance Festival.
Covering all the news that affects you with humor and a unique perspective. Matinair on Air with Jane Matinair. Weekdays 10 till noon on The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH, and on the Civic Media app. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected to your local community. Here's Terry Barr with the Civic Media Radio Network.
If you're ready to welcome fall, the Amory area is the place to celebrate the season during the 75th annual Fall Festival. There's a soybean maze, food trucks, music tents, and the Apple River Quilt Show, too. Fall Festival runs Thursday through Sunday, September 12th to 15th in Amory, picked as one of the 100 best small arts towns in America. More information at AmoryFallFestival.org. And you can dig out the Lederhosen. It's Oktoberfest in Hayward on Saturday, September 14th. This one features German food and beer, an axe throwing and stein holding contest, 50-50 raffle, and live polka music. Celebrate Oktoberfest in Hayward, Saturday, September 14th, 11 to 7, at the Sawyer County Fairgrounds Pavilion, brought to you by the Hayward Lions Club. More info at haywardoktoberfest.com. Until next time, I'm Terry Barr.
Matinair on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matinair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Out here in the middle of all these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. And sometimes, that's how it feels when you're going through tough times. Trouble sleeping, your mind racing. So what do? We get help. There are people in our community who are here for us. Sometimes, just talking to someone can make all the difference in the world. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
The backseat. Check the backseat.
Gets in your head, right? Good, because every year dozens of children are forgotten in the backseat. Cars get hot fast and can be deadly. So get it in your head. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Completions at this point at maybe 10.
Welcome back, everybody, on this Friday morning. I'm Ben Jarbo at the Midwest Farm Report, taking over for the farm director, Pam Yonke, and she's letting me take a crack at the morning show this morning as the new guy. I'm from Central Illinois and started working here with the Midwest Farm Report in July, and one of the first tasks I had was to help gather some century and sesquicentennial farm interviews. And seeing that today is a Compeer Farm Friday, we are going to hear Bruce Peterson give the story of Fair Oaks Farm out of Fond du Lac County, which is taking home both the honors of being a century farm and sesquicentennial farm this year.
The original people come over, and this was the third farm they had bought at the time when one of the boys got married. They helped them buy a farm, and it's been passed down through the generations. Of the three original farms, two are still in the families, so I feel we're doing fairly good at hanging around. We went through the 80s and watched many of my good friends not make those times, which all farmers can say that. They're on one side or the other, struggled through it. So today is just another example of what we've been through in the past.
What was it like growing up on that farm? Are there any stories that you have from it, whether it be good or bad?
I mean, the good times was always going to the fair, just being involved with everybody, and when someone had a tragedy like a barn fire, how the neighborhood all pulled together and come to help them. Those were things that you always remember. I always look at our barn, and it says 1886 when it was built, and it's still there, and it's something that's nice to see.
Overall, throughout 150 years now, how has the farm been able to withhold through different wars and Great Depression and everything that's gone on?
Going back to the day of Bruce Loess's Bangs, they survived by having cattle on two different farms right at the time. So both farms didn't get infected that way. It's just a lot of hard work, and you do without on times when it's really hard. You may say, I'd like a new car or a new tractor, and you fix the old one and keep going and keep smiling.
Do you remember any of the first of the farm, say, or do you know when the first time like farm got a new tractor, first tractor they had or anything like that, or electricity, or do you know about when any of that happened?
It was around 1926 when electricity and plumbing went into the house. First tractors were, I know we've got a 1939 Ford 9N setting there yet. Goal of someday I may restore it. Who knows what happens, but it's something there. 41 International H, I remember driving that one. The bigger ones they had, they got rotated through at different times, and I don't remember. The real pride and joy that I remember was the biggest tractor IH made at the time, the 806, 94 horsepower. My father bought one of those, and everyone says, what are you going to do something that big? Family would not come out and visit him when he built a 16 by 60 silo. Who would build something that big? What are you going to do with it and everything? It's just when you put up something that was new back in those days, it was 1964, and it just how things have changed.
Surviving through the 80s and watching the community come together for common causes are what has helped keep Fair Oaks Farm going for over 150 years, as explained by owner Bruce Peterson. This sesquicentennial farm story is brought to you by Compeer Financial, and you can find this story and others like it on the Midwest Farm Report website. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo, and we'll take a look at the markets in a moment.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Rural Mutual is the number one farm insurer in Wisconsin for a good reason. As a company founded by farmers, they understand the ag industry and its challenges. Local agents offer farm families the best advice and personalized coverage. Visit ruralmutual.com to find an agent near you.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Are crumbling roads making your job difficult? The Agricultural Road Improvement Program is a resource that can help. Applications are now open and will close on September 30th. Help your local town or county apply for this valuable investment in local roadways by filling out the Farmer Support Form, now available at WFBF.com. Wisconsin Farm Bureau, the trusted voice leading Wisconsin agriculture forward.
Welcome back. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. Have you ever wanted to adopt a cow? Well, now you can. We're hearing from Erica Shade, who's telling us about the Adopt-A-Cow program and how it affects schools.
So Adopt-A-Cow is a program in partnership with the Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin and Discover Dairy. And the program gives classrooms around the state an opportunity to adopt a cow from one of three host farms that we have. And it's completely free, and the teachers get little lessons throughout the year with updates about their cute little cow that they adopted from the dairy farm.
Whether you're a student or a teacher, this Adopt-A-Cow program is fun for everyone. Now let's take a look at your morning markets. The December corn contracts are starting off on a bit of a rally, up 4.25 cents at 410 and a quarter. November soybeans are also starting up a little bit at 1015 and a quarter, up 4.5. December wheat is up a decent amount at 587 and three quarters, up 9 and a quarter. Class 3 milk contracts for October are holding steady at 2382 hundredweight, and class 3 milk contracts for November are down 3 cents at 2315 hundredweight. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Ben Jarbo. Make sure you stick around as the farm director, Pam Yonke, is up next talking with Darren Wisniewski from AARP about low-income housing. Stay tuned.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Hayward's choice for news, talk, and sports. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Are you ready to start a meaningful career in healthcare? Are you looking for a job that fits your work-life balance? Become a certified direct care professional today and make life better for older adults or people with a disability. WIS Caregiver Careers makes it easy. With free online training plus earn a $500 bonus. See your name on Wisconsin's Certified Direct Care Registry. Sign up today at WISCaregiverCDCP.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Health Services.
Get ready to go for the green or gold with Civic Media's new Text to Win contest. When you go for the green or gold, you could win $100 cash, gold jewelry, and be entered to win our grand prize, two indoor club-level seats to see the green and gold in Green Bay. Download the free Civic Media app and get ready to text in for your first chance to win in this statewide contest starting Monday, September 16th. Get ready to go for the greener gold with your local Civic Media radio station. Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I learned patience from my adoptive dad. All he had to say was,
"Hey, you got this. Just breathe." Hey. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Might have to start a band.
I got it.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday morning, we'll get you ready for the Packers home opener as they get set to host the Indianapolis Colts on Sunday, plus a visit with former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
About one of the reasons why I say that today, Darren Wasniewski is along with us. He is a Senior Associate State Director, Community Outreach for AARP of Wisconsin. Like I said, Darren, at the outset, AARP touches so many different elements of your life, regardless of age. Today, we're talking about one of those, and that is the ongoing challenge in both urban and rural settings for affordable and accessible housing. And this is only getting amplified, especially as we go towards the winter. Now, you just got done participating on behalf of AARP in some of these community discussions. Tell me a little bit about that. That was an interesting mix of people with different takes on this issue.
Yeah, we just finished in mid-August as a coalition partner for Madison Housing Week. And it was a way to sort of break the week up and invite a variety of different partners to the table to discuss housing from their perspective. And so we had, not only did AARP do a session on housing for all life stages, we had some folks that talked about equity in housing. We had some folks that talked about environmentalism in housing. And then we had some daytime virtual sessions that talked about universal design and accessibility, as well as designing complete neighborhoods and then ways to get affordable housing in the community. So it was a jam-packed week with, I think, 10 different sessions all total. But everybody seemed to have a great time and come away with at least a kernel of knowledge.
I love those lively discussions, you know, when you get different groups, different walks of life. And as you were telling me before we began this conversation, different perspectives. You know, everybody's got ideas on how and what will work in their communities. And like you said, kind of lighting that fire under one another is kind of exciting.
Yeah, and just to be able to get people together to have a conversation. You know, oftentimes we get just among our own and it's like talking into an echo chamber, but being able to have, you know, discourse among people and understand where folks are coming from just goes a long way.
No, help people better understand though, Darren, why AARP spends the time. You mentioned being a sponsor, those kinds of resources. Why do you guys get involved in housing policy?
Yeah, oftentimes people don't associate AARP with housing. And I always love to share a story that housing is in our DNA. Our founder, Dr. Ethel Percy Andrus, she was a retired school administrator. And she went to visit a former teacher of hers. And she had an address, so she went to the address. And they told her, well, the teacher's around back. And so she had gone around back and, you know, couldn't find the person she was looking for there. So she asked again. And they said, well, she's in her house. And they pointed. And this retired teacher was living in a chicken coop because that's all she could afford in her retirement. And that is what spawned the birth of AARP. And so, you know, while we might have gotten away from that a little bit, it has always been the undergirding of all that we do. And now, you know, we look at, you know, housing as financial security. And, you know, if you're concerned about housing, that's a big worry on your mind. And so how do we, you know, provide opportunities not only to get you into housing, but also provide ways to keep you in your community? We know the very importance of staying within your social groups and your familiarity of your neighborhood. And so how do we work with communities, provide options for you as a property owner, as a resident, to then, you know, have those options that you can stay in your community and your neighborhood.
Yeah, and we'll get to the AARP resources in just a little bit, but pay attention to this, folks, because this is another reason and example why I said AARP is not age specific. Everybody always thinks about it 55 plus. It is not age specific. And Darren, we're going to blow that cover right now, because some of the things you'd like people to consider about their home as they grow older. It's not about an individual. It may be about a system where kids or relatives or neighbors have to try to have access to take care of you. I mean, there's a lot of things people have to think through about their home as we age, and it involves others.
Yeah, you know, we look at simply, we have a program called HomeFit, and it just helps you understand, you know, what are some of the ways that we can keep our home accessible, not only for us if we live there, but maybe for relatives that visit. So maybe we're 30 years old, but we have grandparents that come to visit. And how do we make our home safe for anybody, or use a mobility device, no matter what your age, you know, so that they can feel comfortable visiting us? And then, you know, we look at, you know, go beyond that into what are the housing options that you can look at as you grow older? From, you know, simple, call them granny flats in the backyards or backyard cottages that you can build, and then, you know, maybe have a family member live close by in the front of the house, so that you can have sort of that caretaker ability there. We know how expensive, you know, assisted living, continuum of care facilities are, you know, how expensive it is for caretaking these days. And, you know, if we had a friend or a relative that could be there but needed a place to stay, then although granny flats aren't inexpensive, they're still a lot cheaper to build than going into a continuum of care facility.
Boy, for sure. If you're just joining us, this is Darren Wasniewski. He's the Senior Associate State Director for Community Outreach for AARP, and we are talking about the always interesting challenge of affordable and accessible housing, both in urban areas and in rural communities. And I want to go back to something you mentioned at the outset, Darren, and that is how important it is to stay in their community, regardless of age. Why is that a big deal? Now, I'm a farm kid trying to get my 90-year-old mother to leave our farmstead. Good luck. I mean, but why is it so important for us to try to give those people an opportunity to stay in their community? It's not just about location.
It's not location. You know, the research shows how important that social connections are to your quality of life and just your overall health, that when you stay around people who you know and who have been your friends, or even some of them who are your new friends, you know, it just adds so much to your quality of life and to your physical and your mental health. And so, you know, the goal is always, how do we keep you in close proximity? And not always, you know, if you don't have options to stay within community, we understand that your home might not work for you as you grow older. You know, there might come a time when it's just not safe for you to live there anymore. But boy, what other options do you have so that you can stay within that community, particularly around your friend group and your familiar surroundings? You know, because when we become unfamiliar with places, then we tend to retreat to wherever our home environment is. And that retreating leads to isolation. And isolation has enormous physical detriments and mental detriments. And so isolation and unfamiliar surroundings are just ways we try to combat that.
Hallelujah. I hear you. Now, we also mentioned one of the reasons why I love working with AARP are the tremendous resources that are available. Could be the click of a mouse, could be a toll-free number, could be seminars. Tell us a little bit more about some of the resources that are available. If we've touched a nerve with people today, Darren, how do we get them started and what's available to them?
Yeah, probably the easiest way is to visit our website at www.aarp.org/livablecommunities. That'll take you to all of our resources, but there's a whole section on housing that'll just talk about, you know, the different types of housing and what are the options, and even provide state and local ordinances for allowing different housing options in your community.
Yeah, that is a wonderful spot to begin. Again, give us that web address one more time, Darren, if they didn't jot it down.
It's www.aarp.org/livablecommunities.
Livable communities. And that's something actually that AARP has been focused on for a while, giving us something as far as guidance and measurements, I guess. You know, you're not just buying into a community for one element. It's multiples, right?
That is correct. Yes, you'll find links to, I think you're referencing our livability index there, which kind of give you an overall view of how livable your community would be if you're not familiar with it, or where are the opportunities for improvement.
Very good. Again, like we said, livable community is what you want to look for if you're on the website, aarp.org, and they are going to give you all kinds of resources, things to think about, different newsletter archives that might help you out. And share this around, folks. It's not just designed for the individual that's starting to recognize some of the challenges staying where they are. It is a family discussion. It's family engagement. And I'm glad we got a chance to talk about it with Darren Wasniewski. He is the Senior Associate State Director for Community Outreach for AARP of Wisconsin. Now you know why they stay engaged in housing policy and providing you resources to try to get some of the answers you're looking for. It's all at the click of a mouse, aarp.org.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke. The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Matt and Air on Air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's just
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently. Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt and Air on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Protecting your most important asset on the farm today on Farm to Fork. If you're ready to try a highly effective microbial soil inoculant, then Rizol from ProGrow Bio should be your first choice. Rizol offers multiple benefits like enhanced biomass, bigger yields, and improved soil health. 100% organic and works with conventional or organic crops, and comes in a soluble dry form for easy handling and long shelf life. Search the web for RHIZOL from ProGrow Bio.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
When I led into today's show, I referred to protecting your most important farm asset. I'll let Sean Brotherson of North Dakota State University Extension share what that asset is, and it may surprise you.
As a farmer, rancher, or agricultural worker, there's a lot of assets that you deal with, land, buildings, capital, labor, things like that. But your health is actually your most important asset.
Brotherson is involved in a special voucher program through the USDA that enables North Dakota farmers and their families to get free mental health counseling. Casey Holshoff has a similar role with Illinois Extension.
Research has shown that agricultural producers and their families are more at risk for adverse mental health outcomes, such as anxiety, depression, suicide, and substance abuse. Farmers and ranchers have unique stressors that are outside of the farmer's control, like trade and tariff policies, fluctuating market prices, loan rates, natural disasters such as flood or other weather events, and all these really make an impact on their day-to-day decisions and their lifestyle.
Some other states have voucher programs as well. Learn more on the show info page at NorthShoreProductions.com. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, James Santel, former U.S. Attorney, host of Amicus, a Law Review, will join me in studio. Trump gets some charges dismissed, and Merrick Garland made a speech. We'll talk about
it. The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6.
How serious is youth vaping? Irreversible lung damage serious? 1 in 10 kids vape serious? Which warrants a serious conversation from a serious parental figure? Like yourself. Not the seriously know-it-all sports dad or the seriously smart podcaster. It requires a serious conversation that is best had by you. No, seriously, the best person to talk to your child about vaping is you. To start the conversation, visit talkaboutvaping.org. Brought to you by the American Lung Association and the Ad Council.
Matt Nair on air.
Wisconsin Public Radio, Dodge County Clerks backtrack on using drop boxes after concerns from Republican sheriff in order to prevent the perception of voter fraud.
What is he citing as any sort of proof of concern about this?
Gut feeling.
Oh, it's
a gut feeling.
Yeah, inherently.
Feel it in your bones.
Yes,
right?
Exactly.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
This is the Buzz of the North, WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer.